Hey guys, welcome to the Behavior Techs Anonymous podcast. I am your host, Miss Ashley, and I'm a behavior tech. Let's reinforce some of my behaviors. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Behavior Techs Anonymous. Today, we are going to be going over something that is super, super important to me. And I know it's important to my other RBT friends out there in the community. But first, I would like to welcome back our guest from last time. We have the dog mom with us again. So if you just want to go ahead and say hello.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me again.
Ugh, the introductions are always a little iffy for me. I just want you to be able to say hi. Anyway.
I appreciate it.
So during our last episode, we touched on race in the ABA community, I guess, specifically for RBTs, but also it can translate to obviously like the BCBAs as well. But our guest is going to kind of tell us her story and her perspective on being a woman of color in the ABA field and make sure that everyone is just kind of aware of the goings on. And it's super important for us to all know. So if you want to go ahead and just kind of tell me your story. Let's just say that. Tell me your story.
Yeah. So I'm going to go off a little bit of what you can ask me, like, what do you hate about the field? And like I said, I strongly dislike being a Black woman in this field. I'm not saying I strongly dislike being a Black woman. I'm not strongly saying I dislike being an RBT, but the combination in this field, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like I said before, I feel unheard, underlooked. I'm definitely stereotyped against at all times. I feel like I'm overworked with little pay. And I say that, like, obviously companies pay everybody the same, but my expectation is supposed to exceed everybody else's expectation because there's an underlying, rule that, Black women are strong. She can handle it. She can handle the tough kids. She can handle this. She can handle being punched in the mouth. And I'm just supposed to turn up to the next session and be A-okay. Like, I'm not supposed to show hurt. I'm not supposed to show pain. I'm not supposed to show, like, this is unfair. I'm just supposed to take it. And I think that it hurts. Like, it hurt bad. And like I said it in the last episode, like, forever be thankful of the BCBAs I have been in contact with. Two of them, beautiful, strong Black women in a leadership role, which means a lot because you typically don't see Black women in leadership unless they have their own company. And that's what I don't think these companies are seeing. Like, you're losing your minorities, you're losing people because of how you're treating them. And they're just like, I'll just go do my own thing so I don't have to deal with it. Right. I don't have to deal with the racism. I don't have to deal with the hate. I don't have to deal with the bullshit. They leave and go start their own companies. And I'm at this place where I'm like, well, it's easier for me to say, like, why don't everybody just fix it? Like, fix how you're treating people. Treat people like people, you don't have to talk down to people. You don't have to degrade people. And I'm going to say this, and I can go into details, but like, you don't have to be racist. And if you don't understand anything, say, I don't understand, and let's talk through it.
Yeah.
I can write a book about my experience as a Black woman in this field. I can write novels about it. I don't know. Where do you want me to start, girl?
I want you to start where you feel like you're going to be heard the most. Like, I don't want to push you to the point where you're like, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I want you to be able to feel free to kind of like express yourself and say what you need to say and just kind of get it out into the world. So you want to start with like the differences in like expectations. You could do,
yeah,
or just like whatever. Like
I'm a storyteller, right? So everything I experience happens. There's been a trigger. There's been an event that's happened.
Yeah.
That's where my brain goes, to like explain the situation, right?
Yeah.
So I will say, I've been in companies where me and another coworker were either hired on together. We were hired on a couple weeks apart, a couple days apart, couple months apart, whatever, but we were hired on with the same, you know, acquisition level, right? We were hired with the same experience. We were hired on with the same background. The only difference was I was a Black woman, and my coworker was a white woman. No fault of her own, I think my coworker was just trying to do what she had to do to like get through her experiences, get through her hours, you know, make sure she got the thing she wanted and needed. So she kind of like played the game versus me. I'm saying, you know, this is not right. Working till 7 p.m. is not okay.
Right.
Being here at 6 a.m. is not okay. When are we supposed to eat? When are we supposed to go to the bathroom? When are we supposed to do these things? It's like, and I'm almost like pushing back at leadership of being like, I'm a person. Explain this. Explain your logic to me. And then when you start pushing at leadership, you get labeled as a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get labeled as she should just be following the line. Everybody else is.
Right.
And I used to say, like, and everything I'm saying here, people have heard before, you know? So
yeah.
I used to say, behind closed doors, everybody's saying what I'm saying. I'm just bringing it to you.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, hey, what can we do? This is not okay. Like, what? How can I help? What can I help prep that I don't have to be here so early? Or, you know, these office hours where I'm not doing anything, like, how can I help you? And I'm being overlooked. And unfortunately, my white coworker,
yeah,
who, again, great woman, she recently became a BCBA, and I'm pretty sure we've lost connection, but I'm pretty sure she's a badass BCBA, and I say that in a good way, like badass,
yeah,
like she's the bomb. Amazing person. But one thing I used to always say is, like, if she had my voice, she would be respected.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. She would be heard. She would be like, oh, you're so smart. Like, that's such a good idea. Or I didn't realize I was doing this. But she never said anything, which hurt me in a sense, because the same person called me her friend. And I used to always say, like, that's no friend of mine.
Yeah.
Friend of mine would see that I'm being mistreated and say something, and not just say something to me behind closed door, like, I can't believe they did that to you. But like a friend of mine would be able to say, like, I can't believe they did that to you.
Yeah.
Let me go figure out what the difference was. Because I had the same opinion. I voiced my opinion, but you were shitting on for voicing yours.
Yeah.
And I think, in reality, that drew me away from this coworker. It drew me away from them. And I was kind of like on my own little island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my own little island, I got to make sure I'm good, which the BCBAs I worked with came in place. They came in play, and they made sure I was good. You need unrestricted hours? I got you. Come to my office. You need this? I got you. Come to my office. You need that? I got you. Come to my office. And then it turned to saying, she is being favored. And I'm like, no, I have to hustle, and I have to work for everything I have. And I have begged countless of times, please give me unrestricted hours. Hey, you need to set you need assistance in your session, and I was ignored until I went to the people who I knew were going to help me. And then this coworker ended up leaving because, quote unquote, there were favoritism. Right. I was like, I'm not being favored at all. But you see how hard I had to work to get to where I am, whereas you were given a role. You were handed it, hand-delivered it. You were given a role to be able to accrue unrestricted hours. Not my fault it was only 3 hours, you know, a week, but you were hand-delivered that. I had to work and beg for what I had. Because I'm like, there's two of us. If there's only one position, what do you want me to do? You want me to sit and wait a year to accrue 2,000 hours? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Until this position magically was free. And then when this coworker,
So something that just really bothered me was that they were okay with saying that something was unfair and not right if it had to do with them. But if it had to do with like helping you, it was just like, brush that right under the rug. It's fine.
Absolutely. And that's how, like, I will always wish well to this person. Like, if they ever needed me, I'm always there. Like, I generally thought this person was my friend. And I had to take a step back and be like, that's not your friend, because they watched everything happen to you and would call you and check up on you in private, but never once spoke up about it.
Yeah. Like,
and that is no friend to me.
Oh.
As much as I do care for them, as much as I do respect them.
Mm-hmm.
I want that person to know that shit fucking hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. It hurt me to the core.
Because how are you going to be my friend behind closed doors, but not out in the world?
Right.
Like,
right.
Why are you ashamed? What about it is so uncomfortable for you?
Oh, it was uncomfortable because I'm already labeled as a troublemaker. And you don't want to be associated with a troublemaker, because then you miss out on opportunities. You miss out on promotions. You miss out on raises.
Yeah.
And I'm labeled a troublemaker because I'm standing up for myself. I'm fighting for myself. I'm asking for things for myself. So now I'm a troublemaker.
Yeah. And like, also like asking for basic things that everybody else is getting and stuff that you need to like continue your education.
Right.
It's not asking for anything crazy. It's not like you're like, you know, give me $5,000 more or just anything.
Right.
You're just like, I need these hours so I can complete my program. This girl's just getting hours with her little clientele. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And I think that's what if I was to ever sit in front of this person again, I would tell them that, like, you hurt. That hurt. And then to hear that you're complaining that I'm being favored. No, I'm being looked out for.
Yeah.
I'm being looked out from people who are like, that shit is not fucking fair. Excuse my language. Sorry.
But
I'm looking out for people who are saying, like, that's not fair. How can we support you? Because you need the hours too. And I was like, that's wild to me. I think if she was ever in front of me again, I would just be like, and it sucks because I considered you a friend, a work friend, but a friend. You know, somebody I would call, like, you watch the most important person to me when I'm out of town. Like you were that person, you feel me? And it just sucked. It sucked. And again, amazing person, so smart and so sweet. But I don't blame her. I feel like she's conditioned. Like, as a white woman, you're conditioned to overlook that.
Yeah. It's definitely I never like noticed it, I guess, until someone pointed it out to me. I had never, I've never like had to like think about anything like that. So it wasn't something that I was I was oblivious to it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't fault you guys for that. And I say you guys, I think I hate categorizing because not all, like all black people are the same, not all white people are the same. I hate doing that. But I don't fault, because we're conditioned. Like, I'm conditioned to always have my guard up.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody who's going to protect me, you yeah. know? If cool. you're not part of the, you know, problem, or it doesn't affect you, is what I'm looking for. If the problem does not affect you, mm-hmm. tend to overlook it.
Yeah. And then, like, the thing about that, too, is, like, people can learn. And I feel like...
Oh, yeah, but you have to be willing.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times, like, people just aren't willing to learn. They're just like, ooh, like, that makes me uncomfortable. Because growth is uncomfortable, so, like, that makes me uncomfortable. So yeah. I'm just going to continue just to be ignorant about it.
Yeah, and that's what scares me about this field. Because yeah. these people who are predominantly white women in this field who are so uncomfortable to unlearn and relearn behavior are servicing are kids of color
mm-hmm.
who grow up mm-hmm. to be adults of color.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what worries me. And that's when I'm like, until I went to my last place of employment, I never saw a black BCBA in my life.
Yeah.
Never yeah. saw a black one. And then on top of that, I never saw somebody in like management as a black woman or a black man. Never. And I'm like, why? Because you go to black-owned companies, you go to black-owned autism centers, and there's 10, 15, 20 black BC. So they've been here. They've been around.
Yeah.
Why do they have to filter out? And why are these companies questioning why they are filtering out to go to spaces that are comfortable instead of making their space more acceptable and more inviting and saying, hey, like, black or white, you're good at your job. You've been a BCBA for 6 years. Let me put you in a leadership role. Like, help me train these people. Help me do this. Help me. It's no. But they will remember when this man or this woman of color came into work and was mad for a week, not knowing what they've experienced outside of here.
Yeah. Not even like
not knowing that they're
nothing.
Yeah. Not knowing, like, hopefully nobody's oblivious to what's going on in the world, who's listening to this podcast, but like when George Floyd died,
yeah.
people of color were still expected to come into work with a smile on their faces. Like something in this world didn't happen that is affecting a race of people. Well, in that, I can tell you personally, in that time, like, I was afraid to be pulled over by the cops mm-hmm. on my way to work, because then I got to deal with this, and then I have to deal with explaining to somebody why I was late to work.
Yeah.
I was terrified during this time. Terrified. But can't show that when you come into these spaces. Can't show that, because then you're labeled as, you got an attitude. You're labeled as aggressive. You're labeled as, she doesn't want to talk to anybody. Can't do that. And it sucks, because in this field, all we do is interact with people. We interact with kids, and you got to learn how to turn that off. And sometimes, like, especially a woman of color, I can't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I wish more people who definitely have black employees are able to, like, recognize, like, sometimes they can't turn it off. And that's okay. How do you support them through it? You ask them, what can I do for you? Do you need a mental health day? Do you need some time to just sit in the office by yourself? Do you need somebody to talk to? What do you need? Because it's not always send me home or send them home. Sometimes they're like, I just need to feel safe.
Do you think that mental health is kind of like looked over in the the black community as like in the ABA like setting? Because I know that I have seen like people kind of like push and preach the mental health thing, but again, like,
mm-hmm.
only around people who look like me.
Yeah. And I think it's suffering across all areas, black or white.
Yeah.
I think mental health is something that these companies don't take seriously. And I'm not naive. I'm not an idiot. I know companies are in business to make money, to make a profit. But at what cost, right?
Yeah.
At what cost of deterring your employees' mental health? At what cost? Like, we focus on behavior and mental health and all this, and we're expected to deliver to these clients and these kiddos or these adults and these teenagers that we work with. But who's looking out for us? You would think it would be our manager, right? You would think it would be the person above us, these BCBAs. But they just add weight to the problem of you're not at par.
Yeah.
You're not okay. Oh, you called off 2 days in a row? Let me write you up and not ask you if you're okay. It's not in your character. Are you okay? Are you good? And I was like, I think a lot of these people, unless you were grandfathered in to be a BCBA or grandfathered in to be in like a clinical director of psychology, what they forget what it was like when somebody was over them as an RBT, right? They forget what it was like, the pressure to take data, to collect, to make sure you have accurate data, to collect 20 behaviors at once. They forget it. And I pray to God I never become one of these BCBAs, and I don't think I would, but I pray to God I never would. But I've always been like, weren't you in my position at one point in time? Like, and you wish somebody was just like, give me a break. Give me a second.
Yeah.
Let me gather my thoughts together. But so, now you're in this role, and you're in this leadership role, you're in this management role, and it's just like, fuck you. You can do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit at home on my computer and talk to you via Zoom. But you can do it.
You can do it. You're fine.
I'm not going to offer you any support. I'm not going to be available via phone or via email, even though I'm telling everybody I am, but I'm not going to respond back to you.
No. Well, you got it.
You're fine.
You got your 5% vision. You're okay. You don't need
it. Right. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard me personally, oh, she's strong. She got it.
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't need it. She's got it. I'm like, I don't have it. Like, I don't. Like, I don't. I want to cry right now. Like, I don't have it. But, you know, I'm going to cry. I'm going to call my mentors. And we're going to get it together. And we're going to go into the session and rock it out and deliver great A work. Come back to my car and cry before my next session. Like, I'm like, I don't. But I can't. I feel like as an RBT and as an RBT of color, I can't ever show that.
Yeah.
I can't ever show when I'm not okay. I can never show. Because in reality, people just don't give a fuck. Leadership just doesn't care. They don't care. And I'm very much aware that they don't care. And it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, no. So I had a friend, and, you know, I'm not going to say her name because Behavior Checks Anonymous. Anyway, but like, I had a friend, and she is Black, and she was an RBT with me. And whenever she would have like a bad day or like a rough session, they would, like, the BCBAs in there would just be like, oh, well, she's always angry. She's always angry. Mm-hmm. She's not any more angry than I am when I get punched in the face 8 times.
Right.
And that, yeah, I think I mean, really started to like notice it. And I was like, this seems suspicious.
Yeah, but that's a stigma of being a Black woman. Like, if you're not smiling, you angry, or you got an attitude. And that's what I carry on me day in and day out. Like, at work, outside of work, in these homes, it's almost I have to put on a mask when I'm with clients, even if I'm not up to par, you know? Because if not, I'm going to be talked about, right? I'm going to be talked about like your coworker was. I'm going to be told I'm angry. I'm going to be approach different. I'm going to be treaded lightly, and then God forbid I say something back, like, is there an issue? Like, did I do something? I'm in a meeting talking about my attitude. Honestly, I don't speak for all Black REZs, but that me, sorry. Me, I am, I don't have time for it. I don't have the space for it. I don't have the headspace for it. I don't have the mental health for it. I don't have it. So I tend to say nothing.
Yeah. And then so like, so you said that you feel like you have to like mask, and that's a big thing for our field, is we don't want our clients to have to mask, but yet you feel like you need to mask and everyone's supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah. Because nobody cares about what I'm masking. All they see is that my expression. If I have a smile on my face, if I'm angry. If I'm angry, it's not like I'm being asked, like, is there anything I can do to support you?
Right.
I'm randomly being told, oh, you always have an attitude and you need to get it together. Or somebody once told me, always remember, it's not a bad life. It's a bad moment. And I'm like, but do you live my life? Like, do you live the life of coming into work and being watched and being looked and being shadowed, and then having to stop at the store to go get groceries and being watched and looked and shadowed, and then having to go to the gas station to run to a police officer and being watched, looked and shadowed day in and day out, day in and day out? No, you don't. And all because of what? Because I'm Black.
Yeah.
I don't look like a criminal. I don't know what a criminal looks like, but... I don't look any other way. I always look put together, hair done, makeup done, earrings on.
And honestly, even if you didn't, your whole presence shouldn't be threatening just because you exist.
Yeah, and it is. Like, no matter where I go, no matter where I go. It's definitely hard, and like being in this experience and being in this weird transition from RBC to BCBA, I remember all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, and I see newer RBTs of color, and I'm always like, I got you. You don't have to be afraid. Like, I got you. And having to make connections with other Black RBTs who may not work in the same area or the same placement as me, and make connections with other BCBAs and being like, hey, when I get my BCBA, I'm calling you. Like, I need to get out. I need to get out. I need to be in a space where I'm safe and we're in a space where I can be my authentic self. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. It really does, because who's suffering?
Yeah.
Not the management.
No, never.
Hell, not even me as an RBT. It's the kids I'm servicing. They suffer from it. But at what cost do I stay? Like, this place puts me in a panic attack?
No. And that's what's also like just like really hard about being like an RBT, like in general. It's like, okay, like I am at the end of my rope, but these kids need a specific reason. Then it's like, what do I do? Like, we impact their lives, I think, to the point where we sometimes, like, as an RBT, I personally forget how impactful that ABA is for them. Like, to be in your shoes.
And it is impactful. Yeah, it's tough. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It's tough because you work in a predominantly white field. You feel like you're alone all the time. And now I'm working in a space where I truly do work alone, and I found more comfort than that than ever being in a clinic. Like, and I'm a social person. I love to talk. I love to meet people. I like to talk through things with people. I like to brainstorm ideas with people. But being in the setting I am in now, because I only work with myself, has been the most calming experience I've had in my whole ABA field. Because in clinic settings, when I was in a hospital setting, I was working alongside 6 to 8 to 10 people, but I always felt alone. Always. And it sucked. It really sucked. Being the only RBT of color, one, nobody really understands. Yeah. Or being told I have to wear certain protective gear and I can't fit it over my braids. And then being like, well, you're just not going to work. What? Why don't we buy inclusive equipment?
Just be like,
yeah, or can you change your hairstyle? What? Absolutely not.
What should like, be expected
be
to
inclusive.
Do that?
Yes. And again, I owe a huge shout out to the person that connected us, the other BCBAs that they're connected with, and they know who I'm talking about. They, beautiful, beautiful Black women, advocated the fuck for me as an RBT.
Mm-hmm.
But they put themselves at risk because they are still Black BCBAs who get underlooked and like don't get overlooked. Nobody listens to them. Nobody takes their opinions. But they were like, yeah, no, this is going to wear her bonnet. Like, no, she's not putting that on her. And then they supported me for it, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of being looked at crazy. Like, why are you wearing that on your head? I don't know, because this kid pulls hair. Like, I'm going to protect my hair.
I don't want a bald spot. That's why.
Yeah. I will forever... God, I wish if I was a millionaire, they would be set for the rest of their life. That's how much I appreciate that. Like, that's how much I feel like I owe them because I would have not gotten through the experience I've had without them. And it sucks. Like, it really does suck that they left. It was hard. I cried for like months when they left. I'm so happy for them finding what they needed to find. But it's almost like a piece of me was gone. Like my comfort, my home, my safe space was gone.
Yeah.
And that's why I ran up out of my appointment because I was like, I'm not safe here. Like I am not safe here.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm safe in anywhere. And honestly, I don't think I would ever be safe unless I work for and in a Black-owned company or for another Black woman or work alongside. I don't think I would ever be safe, ever.
Yep.
And that fucking sucks because there's very little where I'm at. And when I say little, I think there's just two. Of all the ABA companies, there's only two, and it sucks. It sucks.
It is a field that needs so much more diversity in their techs and their BCBAs anyway, to kind of like round out all, like just like all of like the cultures of all the kids that we service anyway, and mm-hmm. to be like, pushing out and not even trying to get protective headgear that'll just fit you. And it shouldn't matter what hairstyle you have. It should be able to protect you. And they should be like, okay, like you're not going to work with this client until we have what you need to protect yourself. Like it's just the smallest little like human decency of it is just impossible for them.
Yeah. I 100% agree. This is little things, you know?
Yeah.
And these companies don't see that. These companies who are ran by predominantly non-minorities do not see that. They don't see the hurt that they're putting on these RBTs, especially of color. I understand non-minority RBTs experience things too. I get that. Trust me. But sometimes I'm like, think about your experience and then add being Black.
Yeah. Add something that we cannot change.
Yeah, that you can't. I can't hide it. I can't hide that I'm Black. No. I would never want to, but like, I can't hide that. So think about your experience and then having to add on your people looking at you because of your color on top of that. It's tough. It will drain somebody's mental health, and it drained mine for the longest time. A point where I just was quiet all the time. I never said anything. I never did anything. I looked dead in my sessions, like, done.
Yeah, well, you were in, like, you know, like almost like a survival mode, just, like, trying to, like, get yourself through through the moment.
Yeah, and explaining to people why you're so frustrated, they're not getting it. Frustrated me even more. I was just like, why do you, like, and then you got people who pretend they care, and they truly don't because they just can't relate.
Yeah.
They cannot relate. But then they say, oh, what can I do for you? But as long as you come to the session, right? As long as you're okay. You're okay to go in by yourself, right? Even though this family has a Confederate flag in their house. You're okay, right?
That happened, like, that happened to one of my other friends. Yeah. She walked into her in-home session, turned around and walked out.
Yeah. And
the BCBA wasn't answering her
phone.
Where
I came from, yep. They don't answer. They don't say anything. And they put people, minorities, in dangerous situations. I'll never forget that. My last place, we were going out, very not in the city. Let me just say that. We were.
Out in the city.
And I'm not even comfortable. Yeah, we were out there. And they were like, we can just drive together. I said, absolutely not. I will drive by myself. Because if I have to go, I feel like you're going to make up some excuse on why we got to talk or why it's not professional. But I don't, at that point, I don't care. My safety is at risk.
Oh, I got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. But what blew my mind is you screened this family before you brought me out here. Why me? You knew this wasn't going to be safe for me. You knew it. But you still were like, yep, she's the one. She needs to go. What?
Send her out there all by herself. She can be running through the woods if she needs to. She's fine.
Yes. I will never forget that. And I got backlash for saying I wanted to drive by myself. I then wasn't a team player. And I didn't want to spend time with my other teammates. I was like, excuse me?
Don't to cry about I'm it.
It was terrible. And it's just that, again, if it doesn't affect people, they overlook it.
Yeah.
I'm driving in my car, I'm looking for the all exits in case something happens.
Yeah.
I need to go. Because we're not supposed to explain who we are. We're not supposed to explain what we're doing. We're not supposed to explain any of that because, you know, ethics and HIPAA and all that.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Run?
You know? Yeah, like, get in my car and go, which is why I drove by myself. No. But, yeah, again, after that moment, I'm now, a new label is added to me. I don't like being in the car with people. I'm not a team player.
Ugh.
Or we're going to do this, but you can't come because you don't want to drive with us. Like, stuff like that. And I'm like, at some point in time, you're like, I don't give a fuck. Like, truly don't. I don't give a fuck. As long as I can get home at the end of the day in one piece and safe, don't care.
Yeah. My main goal is to be alive. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. And with saying that, I'm not saying like, oh, a lot of people are like violent in that manner. But during that crazy time, that was always in the back of my head.
Yeah. I don't.
At all times.
Don't blame you.
At all times. During, you know, that, what was it, 2021, 2022?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still in the back of my head. Now, not as much because, you know, certain people are not in office. We're not going to get into that. But But that time, it was hard. It was, and it was scary. It was, every day was scary, being in these homes and being in these families' homes and not knowing, like, are they comfortable with me here? I used to ask that to everybody, like, do they know I'm Black? I will never forget, like, some BCBAs were like, I didn't think I had to tell them. I was like, you probably should.
You probably should tell them.
Yeah. Like, ask them if they're comfortable, because if they're not, then I'm not the one to go. Yeah. I'm not the one to go. And I was like, it sucks. I even have to ask that sometimes. Like, it sucks. Like, but I have to protect myself at all costs, because I'm damn sure not some place of employment is going to protect me. Yeah. So I would do what I had to do. Like, are they comfortable with me in their home? Like, you know where we're going? Are you sure?
You see what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah. You're right. So I think, yeah, it's tough.
No, like, I've had, like, supervisors say, like, oh, they're like, oh, well, I don't see race. I'm like, well, everybody else does. Maybe we can just acknowledge it so that we're not put in situations like you were, or like how my friend was, where they're walking into these places and it's clear that you're not welcome there.
Yeah, and it's hard. Like, those people who don't see races are the people in leadership. And I was like, that's part of the problem. You don't see race. You have to see it. You have to, in order to support your people, your staff of color. You have to.
Yeah.
Because then you become ignorant and you become this person that, and God forbid I'm in a house and they're trashing June 19th. I'm just supposed to sit there and be like,
yeah, and just
whatever. My boss doesn't see race, so I guess I have to be fine with it. No, I'm not okay with it. It
doesn't exist anymore because they don't see it. So it's just gone.
Right.
Enjoy.
And I was like, these are the people that are not willing to just be like, yeah, the past is some fucked up shit. Like, it is. It was some fucked up shit. I don't want to be associated with that. So how can I support you? How? I'm not saying giving you special treatment. I'm not saying doing this and this, but in those days where we read in the news, another Black boy has been killed, how can I support you? I know you have a Black son. How do you feel right now? You need a second to talk? Like, how? Maybe you shouldn't go to this house in this area today. Maybe you're not in the right headspace.
Maybe this
should. Or, you know, this client says the N-word a lot. Maybe you shouldn't be in that session.
Maybe
you're not, like, you're not in the right, maybe you're not in the right health space. And give me the opportunity to be like, no, I'm good. Like, it's okay. Or be like, thank you, because I really didn't want to deal with this today. Like, I could switch with somebody else, anybody else. Like, I think just, that's how you support.
Yeah.
That's how you show, like, I give a little ounce of fuck about you.
Mm-mm.
And that's how you retain your staff. When your staff sees that, like, you give a fuck, you care.
And it's not something crazy or unattainable. It's just asking and then following through.
Yeah. That's all it is. Like, that's how people keep their And that's why these ABA companies who are owned by people of color are retaining their staff, because they experience so much hurt and so much pain and so much outcasts from places that they had to go through to get their BCBA or obtain their RBT, that they have in their mind, I would never treat my staff that way.
Yeah.
I would never not be a decent human being. And that's how they're retaining their staff. And that's why majority of these places are hiring people of color, because they know what we're going through in these other places. They know how we're feeling in these other places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's wild. Wild time.
All right. So... With all of this being said, we are going to go ahead and we're going to close out of this episode. Before we end, I just want to give a shout out to BABA, which is the Black Association for Behavior Analysts, I believe is what it's called. BABA is free for people of color to join. And then if you are an ally and you would like to join, it is $75 a year. They have a bunch of CEUs. They talk about race and a lot of cultural things that are needed in the field, kind of like spread that information around. And they also offer quite a bit of benefits as well for Black behavior analysts. And I'm looking at it right now. So I'm kind of like reading off like exactly what they're saying. So the benefits of being a part of BABA would be like training CEUs, there's partner partner benefits, mentorships, study groups. They have lots of materials and resources, scholarships, and then just like special discounts. And again, that is just for people of color for BABA. So if you're listening and you're not a part of that, maybe sign up. And then if you're an ally, again, $75 a year. So not even nothing, especially with all the stuff that they will be offering. Thank you for coming onto this podcast and kind of, I don't want to say speaking your truth, because that to me like sounds kind of fake, but I like honestly like just like speaking to me about this, because I know it's like a hard topic for a lot of people. And I really do appreciate it. So
yeah, I appreciate you allowing me the space to talk freely about it. I really do. Yeah. Again, the person who connected us, I love you so much. The BCBAs who I know are going to be listening to it that I'm talking about, I love y'all too. They know who they are.
Shout out.
Always.
Definitely. And then if you ever like, if you're like, I got to get this out, you know, reach out. We can do another one. I want to make sure that this like Behavior Techs Anonymous is a safe place for everybody, especially with the anonymous part, because that's important to me.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to close this out. Thank you guys for joining us for this meeting of Behavior Techs Anonymous. If you have anything that you would like to share with me or questions to ask, you can reach me at Behavior Techs Anonymous on Instagram, or you can email me at hello@behaviortechsanonymous.com. And I hope to see you guys next time.